You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hello and welcome to another episode of I Hate Dating, the show where we take the terrible world of dating and make it suck just a little bit less. As always, I'm joined by my two esteemed hosts, Paul Marston and Stacey Smith. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing well.
Awesome. Well, our first story is a long one, so I'm going to jump right into it. So 30-year-old female says, I apologize if this is long-winded. I'm not sure what else to do. My friends and family don't know what the issue is, nor does my therapist. I guess I'm being impatient, dealing with a streak of bad luck. I don't know. All I know is I'm the common denominator here, so I must be doing something wrong. Last year, the person I was hoping to spend my life with got sick, very, very sick, almost died, and after a few tragedies of his own, suddenly said he needed to find himself. Understandably so. Since then, it's been a shit road. Started dating this guy who said he was in recovery for alcoholism. Turns out he wasn't, and he was also doing drugs on the side. Used me at a time during I was feeling low and had poor self-esteem. Finally got the metaphorical balls to tell him goodbye after I dropped him off at rehab in February. It was a pretty emotional, abusive relationship, and I am still working through that. Realized also I need to work on myself. So I took a break from dating, started going to the gym more, watching my diet, and finally started feeling good with who I am as a person. In July, I started seeing someone who ran when he realized he didn't know what he wanted and blamed his affection on him being drunk. Whatever, it happens. Wasn't going to let it get me down. Met someone right after who was there for me during a medical emergency and was head over heels for me. We dated for a few weeks. Things were great until we had a miscommunication and he ended up blowing up at me, then giving me the silent treatment, then bailed saying I was too insecure. He was right and I worked on it. Fast forward to September. Met a really awesome guy who contacted me first on OkCupid. Things were great until they suddenly weren't. One day I was his dream girl and he was really into me. The next, he was panicking about something in his life. The next day, he ghosted, no explanation or warning. Sprinkle in two more ghosters and one guy who was not ready for a relationship and just looking to be casual for a bit despite saying otherwise. I got ghosted on again today by someone where things were going really well with. It's consistently rebounders, flakes, and pervs who immediately make gross sexual comments, and I by no means is a prude. It's annoying, and I hate this. I have never done this to anyone because I am in my early 30s and act like an adult when I'm not filling it with someone. It seems the more I self-improve, the worse my dating luck gets. It's to the point where on Bumble, I have zero right swipes. I pay for it so I can see who likes me ahead of time. Tinder seems to be more for hookups, and I'm not looking for that, or friends with benefits. This has never happened before. When I was on my old account 2 weeks ago, I had over 20 new likes a day. Now, nothing, and it's been 24 hours. Match, OkCupid, Plenty of Fish were disasters in their own ways. eHarmony was too expensive, and when I tried it, there was no one in my area. I like to think I'm not ugly. I'm educated with a master's degree in the medical field and working on my body. I have decent hobbies, good friends, and I really do my best to be the best date, girlfriend, friend I can be. I live in a densely populated area, so you wouldn't think finding a date to be a problem, but it's tough to find a single people out here. My friends don't know of anyone, and I don't really get hit on ever when I go out, so that makes it tough. Due to the nature of my job, I can't meet people through work, so I rely on these stupid dating sites. I'm hoping to move to a new city in the summer to get a fresh start if need be, but that won't be until the summer. I know the phrase is, you'll find it when you stop looking, but damn if this isn't frustrating and a huge self-esteem killer. Working hard to come off as not desperate, but maybe I am. I do not have sex with them until we are in a relationship. I've tried meeting people at conferences, grocery stores, yoga, the gym, kayaking things, meetup groups. Everyone is either not single or much older or younger. Try meeting people at shows and open mic night, same thing. I'm happy for any and all advice and suggestions. But if I hear you're a great girl, anyone would be lucky to have you, or people saying, I don't know why you're having such an issue, you must be cursed one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. So guys, what are your thoughts? Who wants to jump in on this one? Stacey, you want to take it first? Go ahead, Stace.
All right. So, believe it or not, this is common. I've been there. I know you guys are like, what? You've been there? Yeah. I've been there before where I was like, what is going on?
Oh, my God.
But let me say this. When you said that you started working out, you started eating right, and you focused on you, why did you stop? Because that's what you need to continue to do. There's nothing wrong with you, right? And I'm going to tell you that. I know all of your friends and your family members are like, there's nothing wrong with you. It will happen when the right time happens. And they're right. But let me say this. You need to focus on you and making you a better person, because you may not realize this, but you're putting something out there that is attracting these types of people. So when you focus on you being a better person, you will attract better people. So you need to stop worrying about when I'm going to get a man, when I'm going to be able to get a date, and focus on you being the best person that you can be, because people will see that energy and they'll see that I'm confident with who I am, I'm secure with who I am, and I'm not desperate. And that's when you'll start attracting the right types of men. You're taking all the steps. You're going out. You put yourself out there in terms of online dating sites. You've been doing everything that we would advise you to do in terms of trying to meet someone, right? You're doing that. You're making the effort. You're not sitting at home talking about, I don't know why I can't find a man. That's not the case. You're putting yourself out there. So you're going to have to learn to be patient and focus on making you a better person. And when it's time, those men will come into your life that are supposed to be in your life, because you have been attracting, I hate to say it, some losers, but there's a reason for it, because they're picking up on some type of insecurity that you've even said that you have. So my advice to you is to focus on being a better you, like you have been doing. And when it's the right time, it will happen.
Excellent said. Excellent said. Paul, over to you. What do you have?
Well, you know, Stacey really hit the nail on the head, and I just kind of want to build on that for a moment. So when we're focusing on ourselves, and we're building ourselves, what are we doing at that point? What we're doing is we're making it so that we're comfortable just being on our own. And what that does is it takes the need to have something happen. When you need to have something happen, you start to settle for anything just because you're not dating to find someone that you want to build a life with. You are dating to find someone that you won't be lonely anymore. And there's a lot of candidates that can fill that role to just keep you from being lonely if you just want to be spending some time with someone, anyone. So yes, focusing on yourself is excellent advice, because what it does is it causes you to focus on you, and it causes you to build yourself up. And as you are building yourself up, you're becoming very comfortable with being by yourself. And that's when what you give off, like Stacey was mentioning, starts to change. And that's when people start to look at you as, oh, this isn't a fix and flip. This is something that's move in ready.
Right.
Which is ultimately what people are looking for.
Yeah. All right. So I want to go do a little bit deeper into this. Now, Stacey, you're an image consultant. Mm-hmm. So for a person who finds himself in this position, what's the sounding board that they can look into to say, okay, these are things I need to change about myself? Because I'm a firm believer that you can't read the label from inside the bottle. I can't look at myself and say, all right, these are things that are wrong with me, because I'm me and I love me. But if a person says, look, I do need to make a change, like, what are the first couple steps you need to, like, go down to kind of start making those changes, at least finding out what is possibly wrong with you?
Okay. So one of the services that I offer is dating coaching, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I say to clients is, when they're telling me, you know, similar scenarios of, you know, I just don't know what's wrong with me, I ask them to go back, if they have decent relationships with these people, and ask, what happened? What do I need to work on in terms of improving myself? What could I have done better?
Nothing. You were great. It was me.
But some people will be honest, right, and they'll tell you. So I think it's important to ask those types of questions and then evaluate what you need to do. Even if you're asking just your peers around you and say, you know, what do you think I need to work on? Do I talk too much? You know, when I'm on dates, do I make the person feel like they can't get a word in? And the guy is like, okay, I don't want to see you again. Right. You know, am I not polished enough? You know, you may think you're great, but, you know, maybe you need to work on some wardrobe styling. I mean, you know, okay, it may sound like it's a flaky thing, but right, there are some people that they care about people's appearance. They want, you know, someone that looks polished. So I would say to ask questions. But it's great advice to, you know, tell someone to maybe go see someone, because maybe that's something you should do. Maybe seek some help. She did say she went to a therapist, right?
Yes. Yeah, she definitely said she went to a therapist. All right. So, Paul, you have a long history with helping people kind of reach their goals through, you know, the coaching thing. So they follow Stacey's advice. She gets a list of things like, okay, I need to shut up during dates. I need to stop wearing this, you know, mink coat that's actually made out of possum. Like, what are they?
That rat skin coat.
Exactly. So I get this list of things to do. Exactly. So what you get this list of things to do. What's the system that, what's the ideas of the first couple of things they can start to do to make sure these things stick?
Honestly, before you even get to that point, there's some people who are more along the lines of what Stacey described that need to kind of tone it down a notch or might have notches that need to be toned down. And there are a lot of people who suffer from the lack of self-respect or a lack of a person. You know, they feel like they have something wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And so they need to be actually be toning certain things up, or they at least need to acknowledge how they feel about themselves. So it's important to, I would first ask, you know, describe yourself and tell me what words that you would use to describe who you are and what your value is. And then look at that list and see what's going on there. Like, where do you feel like you're coming up short? Those are things that we need to focus on at that point. Okay. So you might have an image perception. You might feel like you need to look and work on the way you look. You might not like your body. You might not, like Stacey was saying, I don't think I look the part. I might not like the way I dress. Or you just might feel it's something personality-wise. So once you look at that list of how you described yourself, then I would start to pull apart where we need to start throwing the work at.
Sounds good. Okay, so final words for this young lady. What can we leave her with? Stacey, what do you got?
Work on yourself, work on making you a better person. And as I mentioned before, when you do that, you will start to attract the right type of people in your life, just period. And hopefully you'll get the guy that you've been waiting for.
Awesome. Paul, what do you have for?
Well, Stacey covered that side. So let me just go to the other side, a little bit more practical. You're doing a lot of online dating, so let's just focus on two things just to polish up that profile. I haven't looked at it, but if you're going to do something with the online dating thing, people are online and the stats show that they only focused on two things. They want to see what you look like and they want to know what you're into. So if you've got three or four pages of paragraphs on your profile telling them about all this stuff that isn't relevant that they're not going to read, let's chisel that down. also, if you are very bitter on your profile talking about all the shit that you are sick and tired of,
we need
to get rid of that too.
That's
or what
my
you're not
opinion.
Looking for.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
yeah, we don't. Nobody wants to hear that. So let's get a couple of full body shots, a couple of nice head shots to take care of the physical piece, and then just chisel it down to what makes the user experience of being with you unique and fun.
What if the full body shot is not flattering?
It doesn't matter. There's somebody out there for everybody. They need to know that up front, see what that looks like. The people that hit you up are going to be the people who saw that and decided that they wanted to say something to you.
I absolutely agree. You should definitely show your full body,
whatever it is.
And if you're trying to lose some weight, hey, you can put that in your profile. Meaning you could say, I'm working out. So you're you could say that. So they'll know, like, okay, well, she's working on it.
Yeah, throw every role you got out there. It does not matter. Just let them see it.
Awesome. There's someone for
somebody
everyone.
Gonna love that.
Right.
There's a little 5'2" dude out there like, I love me some rolls. Biscuits.
All right. So in that Pillsbury moment, we'll move on to the next story. So I'm 33 dating a 45-year-old male for a little more than a year. Friday night after he got off work, I continued to send a number of badgering emails. He was stressed and tired, and this annoyed him. I have done this several times over the last 6 weeks, never fully understood how much it bothered him. Having not heard from him since, I sent him a message Sunday saying how he was. He proceeded to tell me that my behavior had driven a wedge between us. I was a bit surprised by the severity of his reaction and asked if he wanted a break. To this, he responded, yes. We live in the same building, so I immediately backed off of his, and I had he returned mine. After this exchange, I sent a message asking what he felt had been off between us, and he said the post-shift texts have made a significant impact. I replied, I'm sorry, I won't bother you again. I'm a very stubborn person, and it sometimes takes a dramatic event to happen for me to catch on to the impact my actions are having. Based on what I've outlined, does he sound serious? What's the best thing I can do? Will he come around? He was supposed to travel with me for Thanksgiving to meet my family, which only makes my heart hurt more. So, Paul, what do you have for this young lady?
That's unfortunate. So let's look and see what the real situation is going on here. You said, is he going to come around? What's there to come around from? You haven't changed anything that's going on other than the fact that you now wish he hadn't left. So number one issue is to self-identify. And it sounds to me, just from the outside looking in, like you might have a bit of a communication problem. So I'm noticing at the beginning of the story, she's talking about she sent him a number of badgering emails when he got off of work. Well, what are you badgering him about? Like, what are you upset about? Are you attacking the real problem or are you just addressing the symptoms? So if you don't have the ability to drill down to what's really wrong with you, then you're just fussing at that point. And if he's coming off of an entire day of battling everybody else, the last thing he wants to do is go home and start battling with you. You need to be somebody's support system. So if, you know, if there's a whole bunch of fussing and cussing going on, you're not communicating. You're not addressing what the real issues are. You can't even tell him what you're really upset about. You're just fussing at him for different things. He needs to understand that you have changed something when you come back to the table. Other than that, I mean, if nothing's changed, then what is he actually coming around to? He's not coming around to anything.
Fair enough. All right, Stacey, what do you have?
All right. Well, she asked him if he wanted to take a break, mm-hmm. and he said yes.
Yeah.
So you need to respect that, because maybe your badgering emails was the last straw, because we don't know your history. We don't know what else you've been doing. And that could have been the last straw where this guy is like, all right, you know what? I need a break from this for a little while. He did say a break.
Yeah.
So maybe he just needs a little bit of space to think some things out, including whether or not he wants to continue to date you. And you just need to respect that. So you sending more emails, more text messages, all of that is just going to push him further away. So give him the space that he has requested when you suggested a break. Mm-hmm. And if he's really into you, he's going to come back around. But I'm going to, you know, piggyback off of something that Paul said, because this is very important for women to hear. Okay. When men have a long, hard day at work and they're faced with so many different challenges out here in the world, the last thing they want to come home to is a nagging woman.
Mm. Preach.
So I want women to realize that home is supposed to be a place of peace and serenity. When they see you, they're supposed to be happy. That's supposed to put them at peace. Whatever long day they had, they're supposed to look at you and go, oh, but it was worth it because I come home to you.
Okay. That's fantastic advice. And to anyone who's dating me, who's listening to that, I want them to follow that. But as a man raised up by a single black woman, I had the feminist side of me perks up and wants to ask the devil's advocate side of the question. Why is it the woman's job to make the man feel comfortable when he gets home? She hasn't been having her own battles the whole day as well.
Let me ask that. Let me answer that one. It's not the woman's job. It's the partner's job. So the man needs to be the support system and the home-based recharge as well. It's the, they're both coming home from a day. Even for the women who don't leave the house, you're coming off of a day.
All right.
And at the end of that day, that other person is supposed to be the support system. That's supposed to be the recharge. You plug in, rejuvenate. And if you're not doing that, then you're failing your partner at that point.
All right. But here's the thing. So you've been out, you know, as we said, battling the world, you know, conference call after conference call, email after email, you know, whiny boss after whiny boss. All this stuff happens. You come home and this other person has legitimate things that they need to talk to you about, legitimate concerns, legitimate needs to connect with you. You walk in the front door and, you know, these things have been pent up inside of them since they woke up that morning. You tell this person to shut down and say, look, now I need you with this whole, you know, this whole truckload of stuff that you want to bring up. Put that away and don't bring it up. Because you need to be my place of peace.
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. What I'm saying is don't hit him with that as soon as he walks through the door. Let him unwind a little bit and approach it from a perspective of let's have a conversation instead of why didn't you do this? And I told you and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, there's a way to do it.
There's all a way in how you communicate. Okay. So it's all about having, like I said, a conversation with him once he gets settled. Give him a little time to put his briefcase down, maybe grab beer out the fridge, whatever.
Maybe his slippers. Can you have his slippers and a snifter of cognac waiting for him at the door? Can you do that?
Look, hand him his beer, okay? Look, hand him the cognac. Pour the cognac. And then go over and have the conversation. All I'm saying is women make that mistake so often and they're like, well, I don't know what went wrong. It's like, stop nagging and nitpicking over every single little thing. Now, I'm not saying to not communicate with your partner when you're unhappy or when something's wrong or whatever the case may be, because you do need to do that.
Right.
But it's just all in how you do it. But let's go back to this young lady.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I just wanted to make that point.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Paul. Did you want to say something?
No,
I was just going to say that people will oftentimes come on that attack mode because they're not playing for the team. You attack somebody when they're not on the same team that you're on. If you're playing on the same team and you have an issue, then you approach it from a coaching aspect. Let's figure out how we can make this better for the team, for the house, for the relationship. And that's really all I wanted to say. If you're coming at somebody hard, down their throat for whatever the issue was, you know, no, and we're not saying that you're not supposed to talk about what your problem is, but you're supposed to talk about your problem from a standpoint of let's fix something. Okay. Let's problem solve together.
Okay. So I hear you. But I want to talk about the entire range. So there's a range from, as you pointed out, like there are issues. Mm-hmm. There are things like, you know, you didn't take the trash out this morning like you said you was. You know, the cable company called, cut the cable off because you didn't send the bill like you said you were.
Right.
And those are things like, okay, these are issues that are excruciatingly important and we need to discuss them right now. But on the other side, of course, like, you know, I just haven't had an adult conversation all day.
Yeah.
And now the one adult that I'm looking to have that conversation walks in the door. I want to unload on them and, you know, talk to them. But this person says they're too tied up from their day to engage. Like, how do you ease into that? Like, how does it is it still the matter of like, OK, you know what? You need your time off. You need your half hour, hour. Is there a time limit? Like, OK, you know what? I don't get to you're in a force field and I'll talk to you for the first hour when you get home. But then we'll talk later. Because I know some people who come home and they just shut down. They're like, listen, this day has just been too much. I don't need I don't have any additional energy to engage with you right now. It's all I can do to just stay awake.
Well, I mean, if the day is hitting you like that, then, yeah, maybe you want to switch things around. Like, because if somebody coming home with that kind of load on them, all right, well, maybe you need to talk. You know, what happened with you today? Because obviously you need support more so. I mean, even if I've got some stuff going on, I need to talk about if you to the point where you can't, because obviously I could talk. If I want to talk about it, obviously I'm in a position where I can talk. Right. So I would say I'm doing a little better right now. If you are downtrodden to the point where you can't even open your mouth to converse, mm-hmm. what's going on? Yeah. If you want to talk to me. If not, I'll just sit right here and hold on to you until you feel like saying something. I mean, it's about being there for each other.
Oh, that was some serious game right there. I like that shit.
It's
right.
also about knowing your partner. You know, as you just said, if you know that something is wrong, ask them. Say, mm-hmm. okay, let's talk about your day. How was your day? So that person has the opportunity to vent or do whatever it is that they feel that they need to do. But I don't think it's the best approach to go straight into the cable bill wasn't paid. Why right. didn't you take out the trash as soon as he hits the door?
Baby, you want me to turn the lights on? How about I can't?
Because you didn't pay the bill.
You want to watch our show? How about we can't?
Because you didn't pay the bill.
All right. Well, Stacey, you want to go back to this young lady, her question mm-hmm. of what can she do at this point? Is he serious? You have anything else for her?
I say give him a space, and if he wants to communicate with you, he'll come back around. But, you know, you can occasionally, like I said, you know, call him, send a text, but do not send him 3 and 4 and five back-to-back text messages or call him over and over until he answers the phone and leave messages.
All right.
Just, you know, call him, leave a message, send a text. See what happens. Wait for his response.
Fair enough. All right, Paul, what do you have?
I think that she, you know, if she obviously wants him back mm-hmm. and she wants to know, is there anything that she can do? Obviously, she's got a little bit of pride to her because she didn't even mean for him to take her up on that. Do you want to take a break right. shit? So my thing is, if somebody leaves you for a reason, you can't show up to the table and having not changed anything at all. So first mm-hmm. you have to identify what the issue was. Let them know that you self-identified that, and then let them know that you're working on that and you want to try. I mean, the whole beating around the bush, random text message, hey, that's a lot of pride involved there. If you want somebody back and you were the cause of them leaving you, then you need to go ahead and say, all right, look, this is what I found out about me. This is what I've changed or what I'm willing to work on. Can we do something different? At that point, if they don't want to work with you, then they don't want you, nor are they deserving of the best version of you that you're willing to work on to produce. So, and that's the other thing too. You want somebody that's willing to work with you through shit. At the first chance you get, at the first out you gave him, he took the exit. Like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. And also, I'll just make a final point. As you mentioned, Paul, you know, if you really do feel like, okay, I want this guy back and I was wrong, apologize and say, you know, like he said, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm working on it.
Right.
And if he is receptive to that, then that's great and you can move forward. But if he's not, then I'm sorry, you may have lost this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that camp. I'm thinking if you're sending badgering emails and you're bothering this person constantly, he ain't coming back. Like, why? What's the coming back to? Like, he got a breath of fresh air. He got a couple days of free email. Man, he's living the life out there. He's me. Like,
baby, I've been real stress free. That patch in my head doesn't feel good. I don't even have stress patches no more.
Yes.
I thought I was going bald. It was you this whole time.
Exactly. Pressure down, feeling good. All right, so let's go to our next story.
I'm off the medication.
There you go. So 31-year-old female. I've been dating a wonderful guy who's a 31-year-old male for just over 3 months now. It started out very slow, once a week dates due to our schedule. Our dates were amazing though, and I brought up the where's this going talk around 11 weeks. Same day I did, he unfortunately got laid off from his job. He acknowledged my request but said I may want to reconsider now that he was jobless. I dropped the subject and did what I could to support him. I thought that may very well be the end to us, as it's extremely stressful and demoralizing. I understand oftentimes even more for a man than a woman. Anyhow, he said he wanted to keep seeing me, and although he didn't feel like he was in the right headspace right now, he did want to work towards a relationship with me. That was a few weeks ago, and we have continued to see each other a few times a week. The last few weeks have been different, as he is a bit depressed and then got sick on top of it. My feelings for this person have grown a lot, and his job status doesn't change anything on how I feel about him. However, I do feel the relationship is at a weird and semi-uncomfortable place. We aren't close enough yet that I can truly be a comfort or support to him, although I try. He thanks me for the small things I do for him, but keeps reiterating that he is not a good partner right now and still quite unhappy with his situation. Rightfully so. I guess I'm not sure what to do from here. I saw and see a lot of potential in him to have a healthy relationship, but I'm worried that this ordeal might hinder what we could have been. He isn't receptive to my flirting or flattery, trying to brighten his days, let him know he is wonderful regardless, etc. He is now visiting some friends a few states away and then going home for Thanksgiving. I think that it's healthy and good for him to do so, but a part of me is also feeling sad and lonely that I'm missing out on the fun, exciting part of a new relationship. I've been single a while and played with in my last relationship, so I'm already cautious. I suppose some of those insecurities are shining through in this situation, me needing reassurance and validation, something that he is not able to give me right now, and deep down, I do understand why. I want to be able to talk to him about this stuff, but I feel like this is the wrong time with all he is going through. So I've been keeping it in and acting normal. I keep an upbeat attitude and keep encouraging him. We keep in touch via text, but it all seems so platonic these days. And if you guys ever been in a similar situation, had we been together longer and in a legit relationship, I could help him a lot more, and I think it would be hard still, but not when you're in this in-between phase, and he is feeling vulnerable and doesn't like it or not want me to see it. I'd appreciate any advice on how to tread forward. So, Stacey, what do you have for her?
Now, this is a tough one. Men are very prideful. And when they're feeling like they're not at their best, they can shut down. And he may feel like, you know what, I'm not at my best right now. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know, provide. I can't do the things that I would normally be able to do if I was dating someone. Mm-hmm. And so I need to work on getting myself together before I put myself out there and I start dating someone seriously. And you know, for you, you're like, I don't care about that. You know, I don't care about you not having a job right now. I'm willing to work with you, whatever. And I commend that. And I think that's awesome. But it's not that easy with men. Okay. It's just not. I think the best advice I can give you is to continue to be his friend and be supportive during this time, because he's going to remember that. And once he gets himself back on his feet, he's going to remember that you were there the entire time and that you didn't judge him and that you didn't make him feel bad about his financial situation and where he was. So I know it may be hard to do, but you're going to have to respect the fact that he's just not in a place where he feels that he can be that person that he needs to be. So you need to continue to be his friend as you have been. I know you don't like this platonic situation, but it may be a temporary thing. So my advice is to continue to support him and wait it out and see where it goes.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, Paul, what do you have for?
Well, oftentimes people will associate themselves with what they do. It's a part of who they are. And so when you lose what you do, a lot of times that can result in you not knowing who you are at that point, or he's got some real issues right now with how he feels about himself. And if you've ever talked to anyone who doesn't love themselves, has any type of for real self-esteem issues, there's nothing you can do or say that's going to lift them up at that point. They have hit a negative energy bubble and they're inside of that. Now, had you guys been closer in your relationship before this happened, maybe you'd be in that bubble with him and he could lean on you. But right now you're on the outside looking in, and anything that you do say, I know you've been trying to flatter him, flirt with him, trying to lift him up, but you're doing all that on the outside of a bubble that he can't see or even acknowledge. So the main thing that you can do is you could play the route, like Stacey said, be his friend. Just kind of wait. eventually he'll get back on his feet. We're hoping. We don't really know what type of dude this is. He might be one and done. But eventually.
One and done.
Hopefully he will get back on his feet. And you can't wait it out on the friendship tip. But sounds like you're not feeling this whole platonic thing. And platonic, yeah, you could easily get stuck in that platonic area because he's not feeling himself. And when he does come around, he might just be looking for something different and acknowledge you as a really great friend. You could stay the friend route or you could take the woman route and make an attempt. Not saying that it's going to work, but you could make an attempt at trying to build this person up, because the only thing that's going to break that bubble is either some powerful survival, some powerful loss, or a move of God if you're spiritual. And so if you're able to get in there and remind him of who he was and the things that he was dissociated from that job, the things that you liked about him, things that you knew about him that had nothing to do with the job, then, yeah, it's potential that you could penetrate through that bubble and bring him out of it. And then you'll be a woman who upgraded your man.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Now, see, I feel like I'm hearing two sides of those of the objective here. So you can either go the stay the friend route, and then when he comes out of it, he'll remember that, and then you guys can try and rekindle. Or I'm hearing the, you know, stand by your man, you know, support him, upgrade him, and then when he comes out of it, he'll...
I'm saying is try. If you want to, you can go ahead and give that one try, because I'm not guaranteeing it'll work. It's a possibility you swing that axe at the bubble and that axe break apart in your hand. Right. However, but you can make a real strong attempt to penetrate that.
Yeah.
There's a great, huge upside if you can.
All right.
And that's why I was saying be supportive. Be that supportive friend. Don't focus so much on being his girlfriend, but being that support system that he needs right now. And he's going to see that. He's going to acknowledge it. And if you're his friend and you're not putting any pressure on him and you're just encouraging him, you're sending him job leads, you're doing all of those things to be supportive.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. I forgot. My bad. Don't send the job leads.
Both of the guys are very
prideful. They don't like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
X that out. If it was a girlfriend looking for a job, you could send her leads. Don't do that.
Just don't even say the word job.
Okay. Encouraging words.
Steve Jobs. There you go.
Encouraging words. Just be a great support system to him right now. And the reason I'm saying focus on the friendship is so that you take that pressure off of I'm trying to be your woman, because he's feeling like I can't be in a relationship right now because I can't be the man that I need her to be because I can't support her.
All right. I want to play it out though. So if they were married, you can't just say, well, you know what? Let's not be married right now because I don't have a job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
But they're not even in a relationship. They were just dating.
No, but they were. They had the conversation. We had 11 weeks of like, where's this going? And they were. And that the day she said, yeah, where's this going?
No, she's right. They weren't in a. She was about to see if we were about to get this relationship thing going.
Right. Yeah. They weren't in a relationship yet.
No, but that was it. At the moment they're getting ready to get into the relationship, the 3 months, whatever, that's where things kind of fell apart for them.
Right.
So I'll interject my piece on this, guys. So you guys can tear it up and destroy it and tell me how to make it better, right? But I feel like once you get into that friend zone, I feel it's so hard to get out of it. Because I think once you get into it, you got to come out of it just guns blazing, something big, you know, because I've gotten out of a couple friend zones and it takes like a Herculean effort and some crazy seduction type level stuff. But my belief is this: once you go in that way, and then once we build that kind of system of platonic friendship between each other, it's hard to say, okay, now that I have my job back, let me switch it off. And now it's all of a sudden like, okay, yeah, now we can get everything going back again.
Right.
I kind of like the other way of, and I'm, my head, the analogy is when you're dating a woman, she gets sick and you take care of her while she's sick. And it's like, okay, you know what? We can't do all the physical things that I want to do, but I understand that you can't do them right now, but I'm not going to say, well, not right now, you're not a good girlfriend, I can't be with you because of this, because you can't perform where I want you to. I'll be here in the same capacity and just like, you know what, if we got to carve out a different way of this relationship being to keep moving forward, I feel like that's a better way to go. Like, so if the situation is like you can't afford to take us out to different restaurants, then I'm never going to ask about restaurants. You know, we're going to find creative things to do for free.
Exactly.
That are going to keep us together, and we're going to keep the intimacy here going. We're going to keep getting to know each other better. And then when we come out of it, then it'll be like, wow, you know, one day we'll look back on this story with us and our kids and say, you remember that time when you lost your job? We thought it was the end of the world.
Right.
And you'd be like, baby, you was right there with me that whole time. I'd rather come from that position than, you know, yeah, we were friends and I was like, you know, back on Tinder and now I met somebody else. And then, you know, he was like, I literally didn't like that idea. You were dating somebody else and you kind of left me when I was down. That feels kind of shaky. I know. What do you?
I mean, my thing is like, you dress for the role you want, right? So if the position opens up at work, you could step up and try and get that position, or you could say, hey, you know, I'll just kind of support and, you know, I played the secretary role here until you find somebody that'll take the position. No, when there's that position open, that's what you want. You need to step up and play the role of what you want until you get the official title there. So, I mean, he's hurting right now. And like I said, she can do, because ultimately, if she just kind of sticks around playing the friend thing, what if my man don't find another job like the one he had? You know, he might be, that's a toxic environment to be in. The person that she knows and fell for is dying. He stays in that bubble too long and he'll be dead. And it'll be somebody else completely. So swing that axe. Penetrate that bubble. It either works for you or it doesn't. And then you know, play that supportive role and do your own thing.
Okay, yeah. So my perspective, and I feel like I'm being a little misunderstood, so let me try to clarify this a little bit more.
Absolutely.
So from my perspective of what you read, she was saying that she said that she didn't care about that stuff, and yet he is still saying, I'm not ready. Okay.
Right.
So if a man is consistently telling you that I'm not ready, although you're saying, I don't care about those things. We can cook instead of going out to dinner.
Right.
I know of this free concert in the park that we can go to that doesn't cost any money. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to ride this out, you know, with you. I'm going to be your support system, all of those things, because that's what a partner does in a relationship. I'm not going to just kick you when you're down. I'm not going to leave you when you're down. I'm here.
Right.
That's awesome. That's great. Mm-hmm. But if that man is still saying, I can't do it, I'm not ready, you have to respect that. And if you feel like he's worth it, then you continue to support him the way that you have been doing, but respect the fact that he's saying, I don't want a title of you being my girlfriend on it. So when I said friendship, I'm not talking about just, oh, I'm going to be your homie. I'm saying, don't put the pressure of that title, but be that support system, because he will look up and say, this is the woman that I want to be with, because she has she's ridden this, you know, ride with me.
Right.
She's been on this ride with me. She has been supportive. She has held me down this entire time. So I do feel that you should fight for what you want.
Sure.
If you feel like this is, you know, the guy, I really want to be with this guy, you should fight for what you want. But if he is blatantly saying, I can't do this, I'm not in the mind space to be able to be your boyfriend, regardless of all of the efforts and the pledges and everything else that you said, you have to respect that.
So
I don't think
I want to say one thing.
Okay.
So can I ask the lizard brain question that I really want to ask? So when you say friendship, are they still having sex?
If she wants to. If they want to, meaning if she's comfortable having sex with him and he has sex with him, fine.
Okay, because that's my thing. Because if it's like all of a sudden, like, look, you don't have a job, we're going to be friends. And when all of a sudden intimacy taken off the table, thanks for that.
Like, if she wants to be intimate with him and he, you know, wants to be intimate, they both have this mutual interest of intimacy, then
I don't know. And so I'm just going back to the original text.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's saying I'm not ready. I'm thinking he's more saying from what he said, because she said in there that he wants to. He still wanted to work toward a relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a fact that he's not ready. He feels like she wouldn't want him because of his situation.
I think his quote was, I'm not a good partner right now.
Right, exactly. So that's a large part of his association now. He sees himself. He sees himself as the person who used to do this job that he no longer does anymore. So there's nothing wrong. And I think ultimately we are all saying the exact same thing in different ways. There's no space from what Stacey said to what we've said.
Yeah, I agree. It's just that
I'm only adding the additional caveat there that he sees himself in a poor way.
Yeah.
And the way to move forward with him is to remind him of all the things that he was even before he lost his job, but had nothing to do with that job. You have to change the association that he has.
Yeah, because I'm getting the feeling that he's coming at it from a level, and I'm even guilty of this myself. Like, I'm going to take myself out of the running. I'm gonna quit before you fire me.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like I'm not living up to my standards and what I believe I'm good at.
Right.
So before this gets to the point where, you know, it just becomes blatantly obvious that I'm not the man for you, I'm going to gracefully bow out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And my thing is, like, I would love a partner to come in and say, look, you know what? Listen, I see the greatness in you, even though you don't see it right now.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm going to relentlessly, like most women do, I'm going to relentlessly drive and ride you till you get back and till you become successful again. And then that success story that you rewrite, that's going to be us again. And that'll be our story now. I don't know if that's fairy tale thinking and it's kind of crazy, but that's just kind of the way I would like to think the person would be. Like, yeah, you know what? And fair enough. Let me, full disclosure, as an entrepreneur for the past, like, 19, 20 years.
Woo!
Yeah, it's you have some lean years. You got some times there where you're like, whoo, yeah, you know what?
That's that Lowry season.
Yeah. you get a lot of lean years and a lot of times where it's like, yeah, you know what? They just haven't sent the check. They just haven't. And I've had that feeling of I'm not a good partner right now. I really, because it's easier to buy one can of beans and feed yourself than try and buy two and try and feed us. So it's a lot easier. So it's easy to try and pull yourself out and say, all right, you know what? I can't do it right now. And so I'm always thinking like, wow, what if there had been someone who was like, yeah, you know what? Baby, just split that can of beans. I got this. But the problem is, and Stacey talked about it earlier, that male ego is so frail and so fragile that you gotta finesse that game just right. Because if I feel like you know, I'm like, hey, baby, you know what? I'll bring some hammocks and put in these greens. And it's like, you know what? I should be the man to be doing all
no,
that.
No, I get my own hammocks.
Yes, exactly.
No, but you know,
let my Bama slip out.
It's
there.
The ego. It's the ego, but it's also the memory. Sometimes we just forget who we are. We need to be reminded.
Mm.
And it's good to have somebody who saw you at one point, they're seeing you in this other point, and they can just sit there and say, you know, that this isn't who you are. You know, the person that you are does this, the person that you are does that. This is what, and these things that I've listed have nothing to do with the job that you had. You're the person that motivates me. You're the person that reaches inside yourself and builds yourself up. And so I just want to take the time to remind you who you are. Sometimes we need that because we forget.
You're absolutely right. Okay, cool. So final word on this one. Paul, what do you have?
You called me and then looked at Stacey. Oh, okay.
No, sorry. Do as I say, not as I do.
Don't follow my hands. Follow what I said
yes.
to you. No. What I have to say for her is that, you know, try and crack that bubble. Try and remind him of who he was. Play, dress for the part that you want. And like Stacey said, if it doesn't work out, if you can't penetrate that bubble, then play that supportive role if you feel like it's worth your time. But understand that everything that you do, if you can't crack that bubble with that good conversation, with that I have a dream speech that you're about to give them, if you can't crack that bubble with that, nothing you say is going to make any difference to him until he starts to feel better about who he is.
Excellent. Stacey, what do you have for our last words?
If you feel like this is someone that you really want to be with, and he's really worth the effort, as Paul stated, go ahead and try to penetrate that bubble. But just be, you know, supportive. Just be very supportive and, you know, let him know that you're going to be there regardless of where he is in terms of this point of his life. So that's my main advice. It's just be supportive. And if he does not want to be in a relationship, if you're trying and you said all that stuff, then you got to respect that. And if you feel like, you know, he's worth the wait and you want to be that friend and you want to just be supportive and, you know, whatever else comes with that, as Irvin pointed out earlier, then, you know, do that if that's what you choose to do.
I say nothing helps a man get back on that horse and get, you know what, that was a whole terrible sex reference about to come out there. I'm gonna stop that right there. But quick question. All right. So what if I switch the genders? The woman loses her job. The man keeps his.
What's with the eye roll on that one?
I will say. Go ahead.
All right. So, you know, we're at that 11-week mark. She asks, like, you know, where's this going? Then she loses her job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he still has his job. He's still doing good. Does the advice change?
No.
And she's like, you know, I'm really not being a good partner. But here's the thing, though. Does she even come up with, I'm not even being a good partner? Because women aren't. Well, go ahead. What do you think?
This is what I was going to say, because ladies and gentlemen that are out there listening, Irvin and Paul brought something to my attention a while ago. Okay, I learned something from the both of them, them being men. And they basically let me know that men really don't care about your financial status like that. They don't.
Facts.
Hashtag preach.
There it is.
Yeah,
they're going to be there. Yeah, you know.
Men, keep in mind that that's the part that makes it relevant. Men don't care. Now, there's some scrubs out there that's sitting on the couch that need you to go on and get that job.
Right.
But these Xbox games ain't gonna play themselves. We both can't be sitting here. I'm used to watching Maury on my own.
No, me time. Oh, no, I'm out.
Wow. Fair enough. Okay, cool. So appreciate that. All right. So that's our last story, but I want to throw this one bonus story in just because it's kind of personal for me. So it's really quick. 18-year-old male is dating. I met a very sweet 39-year-old woman that I met at a Chinese restaurant. She was a waitress. Seems to want to date me. We talked for a while and I asked for her contact information. I'm so desperate to laugh out loud. I thought she was like 25 or 30. She looks a lot younger than her age. And she's really beautiful. But then she told me that she's 39. We've been talking and flirting for a while, and she's asked me some sexual questions. My friends advised me not to do it, as he has had a similar situation, and he regrets it. He told me that he has a girlfriend now, and he wishes that he lost his virginity to her rather than the 32-year-old that he did lose his virginity with. Do you think I should stop talking to her?
She's a vampire. She wants virgin blood.
Boy.
Wait,
bruh, go and get sucked.
Virgin,
huh?
Did he say he was a virgin?
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's the problem.
That's the thing. He's a virgin.
He doesn't know if you want to give her that cookie. Look,
man.
There's a chick that just sold her virginity for what? What was that? $3 million?
Yeah.
$3 million?
$3 million. Yeah. For female virginity, so a man's got to at least be a couple of $100,000.
Man, please, a man's virginity is $50 in a box of popcorn.
Oh, no, man, get your college paid.
We are giving it away out here. There's no market for male virginity.
It depends on how old you are. If you got age, if you got aged virginity, it might be worth a little more. He's only 18.
So what do you do? Should he go for it, take the plunge? Man, you better ride that gray mare. You got your mind.
39
at 18. Stacey, what do you think? Paul's at a loss for words, which is phenomenal. It just never, ever happens.
All right. So this is the only thing, okay? If you do choose to go ahead and be with this woman, just know that she may turn you out.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get hurt.
You're gonna get hurt.
I was gonna say, because she's more than likely not looking for anything serious with you. And I don't want your feelings to be too invested in this situation, because it's probably going to be strictly physical. But what I'm saying is,
he bounces back.
I would hope so. Yeah. But you gotta think, you know, that's a seasoned woman. That's a pro.
That's a grown
woman.
She
may do some things that he wasn't ready for. He's like, I'm in love. And she's like, no, honey.
His mama gonna kick her ass.
But as an 18-year-old, and you know, if you feel like you're mature enough to handle this, and
you're
you know, and you feel like whatever may come with this, you can handle, you know, go for it. But just know, don't get your feelings too wrapped up in this situation, because you may get hurt.
That's a warning that you can't even expect an 18-year-old to.
I had to put the disclaimer out there.
Gotta protect the show. All right, fair enough. Paul, what do you think?
All right, man. So man to man, I've been 18 before. I've talked to an older woman as I was a younger teenager before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stacey's pretty much right. A woman's going to she's going to use you for your 18-year-old body.
All 5 seconds of it.
And she's going to show you things. So this could, you know, but here's the thing though. He hasn't had sex before. And obviously, his virginity means something to him if he's over here talking to his friends about whether you should or you shouldn't. So, if your virginity means something to you, then yeah, you should share it with somebody who it's going to mean as much to them as it does to you. Now, if your virginity don't mean shit and you was just taking that up as a talking point, then by all means, go to that college class.
Yes.
And learn things that will fuck these other 18-year-old girls up.
Oh, gosh.
You will be privy to information and skills, because she's going to train you. This is not her first rodeo.
No,
she got a training course. Mm. She probably got modules on the computer. iPhone, iOS.
Yes.
So, yeah, you know, if you want to take that class, go on and take that class, and you will be a god among men in your high school or freshman year of college, whatever you got going on.
Yeah.
But if it's important to you, you know, stay
wait.
In lane.
Yeah.
Stay
yeah. In if, lane. If it's important to you,
don't go chasing waterfalls.
Yeah. Wait. As Paul stated, wait until it's shared with someone that you really care about, so that it can be a memorable experience. But as you know, both Irvin and Paul stated, if you don't really care about it like that, you're not valuing like that. You've just been waiting for the right time and moment. Then,
go for it. NBA is drafted.
But just understand. that some things may come with that that maybe you're not ready for. So just go in with an open mind of whatever may happen, happens.
Absolutely. So, yes.
You learn the pain, but you can learn a lot.
Yeah. So, so I agree with both of you guys. Absolutely. If it means something to you, definitely wait for it. But if not, dude, I say limber up, hydrate, and make sweet, sweet love to Stifler's mom. You are going to have a fantastic time. You're going to love it.
Notes. Remember everything.
Oh, he's going to remember.
And please apply it on them young girls because they ain't going to know where it came from. You're going to be that dude.
Yeah, you are. All right. Well, guys, thank you much. Thank you so much for a great show. And we'll be back to our regular day next Wednesday. Two Wednesdays from now? So everyone enjoy their Thanksgiving holiday. We'll see you guys later. Oh, and if you want to send your story in, you can catch us at help@ihatedatingshow.com. Thanks.